Hello, I'm Philip Stubley, and welcome to The Bear Den, which talks about the American Bear Association, and bears generally. Currently, we are continuing our series on sun bears, Indonesia, and people that make a difference. Please see previous episodes for further details. It was in 2019, at the Vince Schuette Sanctuary, that I asked Steph, who is now ABA president and regular guest on the pod, if we could call a bear Chantik. This is spelled C-A-N-T-I-K, but pronounced Ch. The word means beautiful in Indonesian, and I figured it was a name that probably hadn't made its way to the north woods of Minnesota. There was a shy female bear that neither of us had noticed before, hanging back elusively in the woods. Doe-eyed with a slight dint in her nose, she fitted the name perfectly. And we've seen her every year since, visiting the sanctuary in the August and September months. Little did I know at this time that she wouldn't be the only Chantik bear to feature in my life. In 2020, while I was stuck in the UK during the pandemic, I reached out to an Australian-based NGO called Sumatran Sun Bear Team, hereby referred to as SSBT. And I basically asked what I could do to help out. Founder, Leslie Small, got back to me, and you'll be hearing from her in due course. Before I knew it, among other things, I was helping manage social media and working on enclosure designs for rescued sun bears. As fate would have it, I started dating my partner, Asher, who also designed the Bear Den podcast logo. And she is an architect. She looked at my enclosure designs, was probably quite generous in her review, but the upshot was that she offered to make 3D models of them, which made things a lot easier and presentable. And so far, we have designed two enclosures together for SSBT and seen them built. Along with Leslie and independently, I've made several trips to Sumatra since then to see the fruits of our labour and work alongside local staff. I'll let Leslie fill in the details, so let's not get ahead of ourselves. Firstly, a quick tourist guide to Sumatra to set the scene, and looking through these lists of stats, the phrase go large or go home comes to mind. Sumatra is located in western Indonesia and is the second largest island in Indonesia and sixth largest in the world. It's known for its wide variety of flora and fauna, including the corpse flower, Latin name Rafflesia arnoldi. This is known as the largest individual flower on Earth and, frankly, for smelling rank, like decaying flesh. Medan is the capital and largest city located in North Sumatra. While there, you can also visit Lake Toba, which is the largest lake in Indonesia and the largest volcanic lake in the world. To top all that off, Sumatra is the largest producer of Indonesian coffee. The Sumatran Sun Bear Team Rescue Centre is located near Gunung Lusu National Park. This park is a UNESCO World Heritage Site and is the only place in the world you'll find orangutans, these are the endemic Sumatran orangutans, elephants, rhinos, tigers and sun bears all in one place. It's pretty neat. For anyone wanting to visit, Bukit Lawang is a small tourist town which is an ideal base for exploration. I also ask you to bear in mind, Sumatra has lost almost 50% of its tropical rainforest since 1980. So I visited the SSBT Rescue Centre several times. It's a bit of a drive from Medan, a few hours north, with the last 11 kilometres over dirt roads, through villages, and across a small river ferry to get to your final destination. It's a lovely, fairly remote area, and before we move on, I've got one story which I think will help illustrate how different life is there. On one of my visits in 2022, there were reports of a wild Sumatran tiger in the area, with locals having several close encounters with it. The villagers were letting off fireworks most evenings to try and scare it away. One morning, there was a reported sighting near the school, and I joined a team that went to investigate, and we did find some paw prints and a dead pig not too far away. The tiger was eventually found and relocated, as far as I know. That trip, I also managed to get dengue fever, a viral infection spread by mosquitoes, which in simple terms, it's not something you want to get, and it kind of felt like flu on steroids. But these things happen though, right? I visited once again with Leslie in May 2025, and one night we sat down together for an interview about how Sumatran Sun Bear Team came into existence and its work. We also covered Leslie's background working as a zookeeper in Australia, and we'll share some of the stories of the sun bears under SSBT care. We were staying in a small, rustic cottage in the rainforest, so you'll get some nice ambient noises of the tropics, including the pitter-patter of rain on the roof, and cicadas, amongst others. Now that we're all primed, Cue credits. There is a place in the remote northwoods of Minnesota, North America. It's located near the town of Orr, population approximately 300. Outside of this town is an area where normal rules are put to one side. It's a place where humans and wildlife meet. It's a special place, wholly unique, and not without its controversies. This is the Vinschuti Wildlife Sanctuary, run by the American Bear Association, ABA for short. The ABA is dedicated to promoting a better understanding of black bears and all wildlife through education, observation, and experience. I'm your host, Philip Stubley, and welcome to the Bear Den. So we're currently located in Bukit Mas in North Sumatra, which is about 3 hours north of Medan, the capital of North Sumatra. And I'm here with Leslie Small. Leslie, how are you doing?
I'm well, thank you. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you. So can you introduce yourself and tell us a bit about how you got started in the world of animal husbandry?
Yeah, sure. I started working with animals actually many, many years ago. I've done all sorts of things, working on a farm, in a university, a vet nurse for a long time. And then I really just wanted to do vet nursing, but then I got interested in zoos and the exotic animals and the amazing animals. And I've built a private zoo, and then I've been working at Taronga Zoo for a long time, but that was where I really fostered my love and understanding for the sun bears. And that's what led me to find out a little bit more about sun bears. I started going to visit rescue centres around Southeast Asia for doing some volunteer work and getting a bigger and better understanding of what was happening to sun bears in the wild. And it wasn't good. All the news that I found out was not very good. And then it wasn't until I had to go over to Sumatra and check out some work that the zoo was supporting. But it was then that I realised that they were doing lots of work here for animal conservation. And some of that was about tigers, so it was about elephants. And I asked the guy that I was with, what do they do for sun bears here? Because that was already on, you know, my mind constantly. And that's when he said that nobody's doing anything for sun bears here in Sumatra. So I contacted all the bigger organizations when I got home, hoping that they'd jump on board and start looking after sun bears in Sumatra, because they were getting snared, they were getting captured for the illegal pet trade, they were in a lot of trouble. And so I really kind of was hoping that somebody would come and start looking after them here. And when I realised nobody was, I just needed to kind of continue to look after sun bears, but here in Sumatra, and started the Sumatran Sun Bear Team. And I'm really lucky that I found some like-minded people to jump on board. And that's how, basically, why we got started. We started because we had to.
Oh, no, that's great. So just kind of focusing on your work at Taronga, just for a minute, just to clarify for listeners who might not know about Taronga, is that it's located in Sydney, Australia, but it's a different zoo to Sydney Zoo, right?
That's right. A lot of people are getting confused with that now. Taronga is the zoo in Sydney. It's all right on the harbour, and it's been there since 1916. Sydney Zoo is more west of Sydney. It's more accessible to a wider audience, so not just the people that live near the city. So it's a smaller zoo, but it's about 50 kilometres west of Sydney.
Oh. Good to know. Get yourselves there, everyone. And so what's it like working at Taronga Zoo, and like, what's a typical day, if there is one?
I'm a carnivore keeper, and we have a range of carnivores, from the tiny little meerkats up to lions and tigers and, of course, sun bears. So every day is different, depending on which round you have. We have about 5 rounds. So we have lions and tigers. So part of whatever animals you're looking after on the day, it does involve, first of all, checking your animals early in the morning. You do the husbandry, so that means that you're cleaning and preparing their enclosure. It might mean scrubbing a pond, It might mean digging up some mulch. It might mean dragging some branches around to give them some interesting enrichment. And other enrichment could be smelly things such as feces, even from giraffe. Could be things wrapped up in cardboard boxes, things, enrichment hanging toys, especially for the sun bears. They love it. We have one sun bear there called Mary, and she will enjoy every bit of enrichment that we give her. They're amazing animals, the sun bears.
Until recently, there was quite a well-known resident sun bear called Mr. Hobbs at the zoo, and I kind of want to just ask about his story and what he was like.
Mr. Hobbs, he was such a sweetheart. Yes, he lived to a really good old age of 26 years old, and that is an elderly sun bear. So he was being treated for age-related diseases such as osteoarthritis, and we had to say goodbye to him about 4 years ago. We really miss him. He was a good partner for our resident sun bear, Mary. And Mr. Hobbs had a really long story to tell. He was brought over from Cambodia, and he was looked after by Free the Bears. Free the Bears brought him and two other females over in 1996. And they were the first legal animal transaction to ever come out of Cambodia. And Mr. Hobbs, he was going to be served up as bear paw soup, and he was found at the back of a restaurant. And in Cambodia, that's a typical kind of story as to how bears are often rescued. In Sumatra, it's a little bit different. The problems that Sumatra have are the bears are being caught in snares that are not illegal, and they are a lasso, often made out of a material like brake cable, and they're laid down for other non-protected species such as deer or wild pig. But snares don't discriminate, and the sun bear that spends a lot of time on the forest floor foraging, looking for food, doing a lot of wandering for hours on end, 3 or 4 hours at a time, and so they're really easy, likely prey to accidentally get caught in these snares. And if they're not checked, they can really run into trouble, needing to have surgery, needing to be rescued. Or sometimes it has been known that they've died actually in these relentless snares. Also, the illegal pet trade, which is if a female is caught in one of these snares and she has a cub with her, then people will take that cub and often kill mum, and then the cub ends up in the pet trade and the illegal black market trade, and they can be taken offshore to places where people will pay a lot of money for them.
It's quite a tough existence for a bear here then.
Yeah.
Just one last question around the zookeeping before we move into the Sumatran sun bear team. I just wondered if you had any advice for any aspiring zookeepers that might be listening.
An aspiring zookeeper needs to have passion, patience and perseverance. And it is a very competitive industry because most people love animals. And if you can do that for a living, then that is a really lovely career to have. And zoos are involved in so many conservation projects now. There are many species that are becoming less extinct. They're becoming more protected. And we're bringing some almost extinct species back from the wild. So zoos play a very important role. So I always encourage people to take on the role of becoming a zookeeper. But it does mean that you need to show that you're really up to it. Can you do the physical work? Can you do the long hours? And it is not sitting around patting animals all day. It is a lot of hard work. But if you've the right person, learn as much as you can about what they do in the wild, because everything that they do in the wild, you try and replicate in their enclosures and how you look after them. So new zookeepers are usually guided by more senior zookeepers or experienced zookeepers, and through their training as well. It all helps people to get to where they want to be, but it also does need a lot of effort on their part as well.
Mm. Yeah, the three P's, I like it. Why is it important to save some bears in Sumatra?
When we release sun bears, we know that we are contributing to conservation because sun bears are what's called a keystone species. So they are incredibly important for the forest. They are, first of all, seed dispersers, and they will eat a particular fruit or several fruits, carry them in their body, walk 4 or 5 kilometres, and about 4 or 5 hours later, they'll do a poop, and out will come the seeds with a good dollop of fertilizer and be able to germinate and start another tree. They also rip and tear and shred termite mounds and rotten logs to get to beetles and larvae, and this is all the ripping and shredding and tearing of all of those rotten logs will actually help the substrate floor, help the forest floor, so then more plants and trees can also germinate. When they climb trees, they are the best tree climbing bear of all the species of bear. They're also the smallest bear, but when they can climb these really tall trees, they'll tap, they'll do this little tap sound like that on the tree, and if they suspect that there's honey there, they've also got an incredible sense of smell. So if there's honey in that tree, they'll excavate the tree and they'll put a hole in that tree and to get to that honey. And even though it sounds incredibly destructive, that hole over time will become a nesting site for hornbills. So the species of hornbill, the female is kept inside a hollow tree stump. She's then muddied in, so they build like the male will build a muddy wall which sets like clay to help the female, except for her beak, can come out to raise the baby. So it's super important for that species. The seed dispersal around means that there's particular trees getting transported, and this is what keeps the forest very diverse and very rich and very fertile. So sun bears play a really active role in keeping the forest healthy, and they are they're just a magnificent animal. Their numbers are declining because of all the illegal poaching and hunting. Their habitat is shrinking. So it really is important that we are able to contribute to putting the sun bears back after they've been caught in snares back into the forest, knowing that they are physically healthy and able to contribute to the forest again.
So how you've talked about some of the threats that sun bears face in Sumatra. So how is SSBT, as I'll be referring to us as, what is SSBT doing to combat these?
All right, we have gone ahead and started building our rescue centre. That's taken us quite a long time. We needed to partner with an Indonesian organisation, and we have. We partnered with an organisation called OIC, Orangutan Information Centre, and their main focus was always orangutans. They are looking after other primates now. With our partnership, however, we've been able to share some land with them. So we are here at North Sumatra right now and looking after our bears here. It has been a long road. We are a charity, a not-for-profit charity. We are tax deductible as well. So all of that takes a lot of effort to be able to be given the permission to be able to operate as a not-for-profit charity. You need to find people that do want to put the effort into helping you raise funds, and that's probably one of the biggest parts is to get the funding. It's always been the biggest hurdle of all. We'd love to progress further and faster. We know that there are bears out there in undesirable places, and we want to be there for those bears to be able to come to us. And the enclosures that we've built already and the quarantine and holding facility, we're so far able to care for 6 bears currently, and we've already released one sun bear back to the wild after he was caught in a snare. His name was Hercules, and he has required surgery. Our vet, we have one of the senior vets of Taronga Zoo, Kimberly. She came over and was working with the Indonesian vets here and together performed a successful amputation. We made sure that he was, however, very able. We made sure he could climb. We made sure that he could rip open coconuts. We made sure that he was still wild. And he actually hated people, which we didn't take personally because we knew that he had the forest skills. He had lived in the forest, knew exactly what to do. We just have released him about 5-6 months ago, and we haven't seen any reports of any bears in that area being caught in any more snares. So we're certainly hoping that Hercules is doing well back in the forest where he belongs.
Oh, that's great. So you were actually here when he was released back into the wild. Can you sort of describe, tell us about the day that Hercules was released? Like, what happened? How did it make you feel? What was it like?
It was a really big day. The team here, the veterinary team and the keepers, we have a lot of trust in them. We have a really good relationship with them. We had the box prepared. We had the transport prepared. The local government worked very closely with OIC. They were on board. We needed to get their permission before we were allowed to let him back into the forest. And it was a really early start. We started when it was still dark, and he was transported into his transport cage. And we took him about 5 or 6 hours drive away from human settlement. And it was on some land. We had to cross a river to get to the spot that was identified as being his ideal place to be released.
And when you say that, you mean like there wasn't a bridge there. Someone had to walk through the river to the spot where he was released.
Yes. Well, the local people actually made a raft. So they made a raft with drums, with bamboo, and it was able to carry the weight of Hercules. He was about 70 kilos, plus the weight of his transport box. So we're talking about 110, 120 kilo mass that needed to be transported from one side of the bank over the water to the other side. And the local people were so good. There was at least 15 to 20 people all involved in transporting him from a vehicle down a very muddy, slippery slope onto the raft. Then people had to walk waist or chest deep in the water to get to the other side, then lift the box up another slippery, muddy slope up higher ground. Then we couldn't just open the gate because that is not safe. So we had to then have a rope tied to the transport box slide, and then that rope came way up across the river again where the rope was pulled to be able to lift it up. And he ran. He really, really wanted his freedom back. So we were really privileged in being a really big part of getting Hercules back to being a wild bear.
Yeah, Godspeed, Hercules. It's quite an operation, isn't it? So you've talked a little bit about the partnership with OIC. I've kind of wondered what the challenges of running, an NGO when you're not actually based in the country that you're supporting. I wondered if you had any sort of idea on that.
It can be really challenging working in a country where you don't live. I need to keep working for a living back home in Australia. But we do have a good team here as well. So we all need to concentrate on really good communication skills. We need to know what our expectations are of each other. We've signed an MOU. We've been in touch. We've known them for many years now. So we do come over and visit as often as we can to check on the bears, check on their health. Also, just to touch base with the keepers here. We get involved and we kind of help them with some enrichment, sharing ideas, writing up programs, writing up schedules, making sure they're all working to the best safety standards, making sure that they have the right equipment that's needed to look after these big carnivores that can actually kill you. They look as sweet as a button, but they are an animal that can kill you. So we need to make sure that they are abiding by really strict safety regulations as well. So it can be challenging in many ways, but we do need to just continue to keep communications open. We have Zooms, we have a WhatsApp group. We're lucky that we have a fantastic keeper called Ikram and Scenario, and they send us photos regularly of the bears, and we all love seeing that, and we do get here to see them as often as we can.
Also, just kind of talking about other partnerships, you've developed partnerships with places like Allowed to Grow Old and Australian band The Sun Bears. I mean, how did they come about? And I just wondered if you wanted to sort of talk about them a little bit.
Yeah, that's right. We do have some partnerships, and we're really glad that we can have them more, you know, whether it just be supportive or, you know, to help us with our finances as well. Allowed to Grow Old really have helped us tremendously, and we wouldn't have been where we are today if it wasn't for the generosity of the lady Linda that helps us with that. So we appreciate her. She has a really deep love and understanding for the work that we're doing. And then the Sun Bears Band, they're a crazy bunch of guys, but they're a lot of fun, and they give us more moral support. They give us a shout out when they're doing their gigs, and we, you know, we'll do the same for them as well. Hertfordshire Zoo in the UK, you know, we also are very grateful to the support that they give us. And Taronga, they will often help us or help me with prizes when I go knocking on all of the doors to get some lovely gifts. We run raffles to try and raise funds that way. So the zoo will support us by doing that. So we do have to work closely with a lot of people, and it's always hard, and trying to keep them all updated as well. It's constant. It's a lot of work. But it's just something that we need to do for the good of the bears.
We finally met in 2022 when we visited Sumatra together after sort of communicating for a couple of years. We finally saw the fruits of our labour, which was the first enclosure that we built. And I kind of thought, why, this might be a nice time to talk about the three girls that are currently in SSBT care in that first enclosure. Specifically, there's Jessie, Ucha and Rosa. Mm-hmm. And I thought, do you want to kind of tell us a little bit about them, their stories and how they all came to be here?
Yeah. Yes, I actually met Ucha in 2020, just before COVID hit. I met her as a really young cub. She was in a kind of like a birdcage in the government offices, and they were looking for a bigger place for her. So it's good to start to get to know her and build up the relationships around her. During COVID, we met little Jessie. She came, well, we met her virtually, really. We couldn't get to come and see her. We relied on the staff here. We gave advice as far as the hand rearing goes, and the staff here were terrific in letting her run around and learn to climb and rip logs apart. She had a really good upbringing, but we hadn't even finished our first enclosure yet. So she was placed in a temporary holding facility, and then once we had our enclosure completed, she had, you know, first choice of which room she wanted. And little Ucha, we then had been expecting her to come and join us as well. And it was over a year had gone by before little Ucha was coming to us as well. We were very excited about that. We'd been able to watch her grow. We'd been able to watch her being placed in larger places, but she really needed a forever home because she didn't have the survival skills or the forest skills to be able to be released, we knew that if we were going to be looking after Ucha and Jesse, then it would be forever. So when Ucha came via the government as well, they kind of helped with all of the work of bringing her here. They brought another little bear with them that was a little surprise. And that was a bear, an adult bear, Rosa. And she was 13 years of age. And she was a beautiful girl, but she'd been a pet for all of those years. So what happens when people get these cute sun bear cubs as pets is that they, you know, run around the house, they get spoiled by the kids, they get jumped on, they get fed all sorts of rubbishy food, but then they get unmanageable and they become bitey and they've got long claws. And it's then that they usually end up on chains or they'll end up in small cages. So Rosa would have then been probably in a small confined space in someone's home for 13 years. She was confiscated, and we were certainly glad to welcome her into our home. And she's been a really valuable part of our family and of our early history. She'll be going down as one of our very first bears.
Yeah, I always found Rosa was kind of a very calming influence. I feel like she was a very relaxed bear when you had like Jesse as the young upstart and you had like, Ucha kind of in the middle. And she was sort of a balancing influence with the three.
Yeah.
When we were here, well, 3 years ago, we actually, because the three hadn't actually been introduced to each other, so we sort of facilitated all that, and I just thought it might be interesting for people to hear if you explain how animal introductions work, and if you want to sort of talk a little bit about that as well.
Yeah, so prior to yourself and me coming over here in 2022, The three bears are managed separately because we didn't know really their temperaments. So we asked the keepers to manage them separately until we could be sure. It's just that if things go wrong with bear introductions or they're not compatible, one of the bears can get beaten up. And as I've mentioned, they are classified as dangerous. They've got long, strong teeth and long, strong claws. So they've got all the weapons that they need. And we really didn't want either any of our bears to be hurt. So when you and I came here, we really had it on our agenda to get all three of them together. And we'd both worked with bears and were quite good at reading body language and the way that they behave towards each other. So what we did is we made sure, first of all, that Ucha and Jesse got along well together. So we introduced the two of them together in the dens. That went really well. And then we introduced Rosa to Jesse, and we made sure that that went really well. And then we introduced Rosa to Ucha. So that then we had, and that went really well as well. So we knew that they all liked each other. So we were really confident about putting all three of them together. We made sure there was no food competition. We made sure that they had full tummies. We made sure that they had nothing to fight about. So we made sure that they were all comfortable, and we did. We put them all together. They all had different personalities. And like you said, Rosa had this lovely calming mannerisms about her. If the younger ones wanted to kind of ankle tap her or wrestle with her, she kind of just kind of said, no, leave me alone, we're just hanging out together. Whereas Jesse and Ucha had this endless energy that they could bounce off each other and wrestle and roll, but still being there with Rosa as well, and they all interacted with each other, so it was, couldn't have gone any more perfect.
Yeah, and it was beautiful to see. You know, it's always happy to see happy bears.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. And then I also wanted to ask about, we also have two other bears at our facility now, and they came from Banda Aceh, which is a province about 10 hours drive north of where we are, right? So it's a female named Chantik and male bear Romeo, and they'd been on SSBT's radar for a long time prior to their arrival.
Yes, I first knew about Chantik and Romeo in 2017 and got to visit them in 2018 and started to develop a relationship with the veterinarians and the carers of them in the government facility there. So constantly keeping in touch, and they were always on our radar to be able to get them into our care. The facilities under government care, they were getting fed, they had a vet on duty, which is all really great for sun bears or any animals that are in their care. But we really wanted to give them more of a forever home where they could display all of their natural behaviours a lot better. And it just took us quite some time because Rosa kind of jumped the queue. We no longer had as much room as we thought to be able to take Chantik or Romeo just yet. So they had to wait a little bit longer. Now, Chantik is an amputee. She'd also lost a paw to a relentless snare many years ago. She was part of the pet industry. She was and then she became an escaped pet. It was when she escaped that she was then caught in a snare. So there are many reasons why she needed care. First of all, to have the surgery and the rehabilitation. But she was never able to go. She was never going to be able to be released safely ever again. Little Romeo, he was this lovely little boy called Romeo because of the heart-shaped crest on his chest. And it suits him to a T. He really is a sweetheart. So we really, really wanted to get them into our care. Even though we have big plans to build a set of enclosures and dens that was going to encompass over 1 hectare in space, we needed to just quickly get something together so that we could get them into our care. So we built a quarantine and holding facility, and it has 6 dens and 3 outdoor areas. It's not as big as what we wanted, but it certainly is much, much, much larger than where they came from. So we're really happy with what we've been able to do with the space. We've been able to give them climbing structures. We've been able to give them baths so they can have their own little jacuzzi. They've got hammocks. They've got dirt that they can actually dig in. So it really is very enriching for them, and we couldn't be prouder in caring for these two bears that were in a cage, basically in government care up until last year. So they've been there waiting for us for a long time, and we welcomed them and we're so glad that we have them in our care. Mm-hmm.
We obviously have talked about Chantik and Romeo, and we did also visit them in 2022 in Aceh. And when we did visit, there were originally 4 bears, another male called Johnny and a female called Sophia. And we had initially planned to bring the 4 of them. And then the government facility was, let's say, less than ideal. So do you mind talking about them as well?
Yes, in government care, there was at one stage 4 bears. So there was a bear called Johnny. He was a cutie. He was a little boy bear that was quite cheeky. And again, he was also a confiscated bear from the pet industry. So he was an illegal pet and he was confiscated. We knew that he also didn't have the forest skills, and so he needed to have full-time care. The second little bear is a heartbreaking story. She came in and she had 2 diagonal paws missing, so caught in 2 separate snares. Somehow must have chewed her way out of it, but they were stumps and 2 of her paws. But she was actually caught in a snare, but she was lactating, which means she had a cub somewhere. Unfortunately, when she was rescued from the snare, there was no sign of a cub. So we're presuming that little cub became part of the illegal wildlife trade. She was also full of pellets, which was just heartbreaking to see that and see them on X-ray. It just means that she would have been fighting for her life to save her cub, but was not able to.
Yeah. Do you want to take a minute?
No. Yeah. Still upsets me, that story.
I know.
Yeah.
Would you prefer if I just kind of explain what happened to them?
No,
or do you want to...
no, that's it. Maybe if you... Yeah, I'll try to get through it without crying. Yeah. So we were devastated when we arrived on site to be told that two of the bears had passed away, and that was Johnny and Sophia. So... when our vet Kimberly asked the vet there what had happened, they said that they got a bacterial infection in their gut and passed away. So we were devastated. We ended up coming on site ready to see four bears and giving them all our promises that we would be taking care of them. Unfortunately, we could only save two.
Yeah. And I guess if I ever have any doubts about what we're doing, I just have to think about that. And it keeps me going. Well, thanks, Leslie. I mean, I suppose I only have a couple more questions for you. Do you want to take a minute? I know that was quite difficult.
No, I'm good. Right.
It's mainly, hopefully, bringing things in a more positive angle. I kind of wanted to just ask you, what are the next steps? And where people can find out more about SSBT, and if there was anything else you wanted to mention.
Yeah, thanks, Philip, for giving us the opportunity to let everybody know what we're doing, what we've done, where we're hoping to go. Our next enclosure is really one of our big goals. We want to bring people here. We have a lot of people asking us, where are your bears? Can I come and see them? Can I do some voluntary work? And we would love to be able to accommodate all of those people that ask and want to know what we're doing and the bears here. We're currently not set up to accept volunteers as a long-term stay period. So we're going to be starting with, hopefully very soon, some day trips. We're going to be working with a lovely hotel as well called Delhi River Hotel, or Hotel Delhi River. And... hopefully some of his guests, which he thinks do really want to come and see our site, will come here. We're going to be doing some enrichment. We're going to be talking everything Sun Bear while they're here. And it'll be a really fun, positive day. And the bears are going to love people coming here, making some enrichment for them. But at the same time, we're going to just let people know the truth about what goes on behind the scenes for bears and the struggles that they have. So it's going to give us the opportunity to spread the word about the plight of the sun bear, but we also hope that the support that we get from these visitors will also help us build our larger enclosure and other things that we do have on the agenda.
Oh, that's great. Is there anything else you want to mention? Or?
No, just anybody that does want to get involved, just give us a call. There's lots of ways that you can get involved, whether it be through fundraising, whether it be through writing, whether it be through promoting us through your own social media. There's a lot of ways that you can literally help us to help sun bears here in Sumatra. And we're looking forward to just growing and growing, because we know there's a lot of bears out there that will need us, that do need us. And we want to be here for them.
Yeah. Well, that's great. And I'll drop some links. When this goes out, there'll be links to, like, the website and social media, etc. and everything. Oh, well, thank you very much, Leslie. Thank you. I know that has been great. I know, sorry, that was a little tough for you there, but I think that's going to be really powerful for people to hear and just understand, like, how desperate the situation can be for people, for bears.
Thank you, Philip.
Thank you.
The Bear Den, the American Bear Association podcast, was written and presented by me, Philip Stubley. The music was composed by React Music. Thank you to everyone who has helped make this podcast possible, including Karen Hausman, Bill Lee, Clary Lee, Stephanie Horner, Donna Brazinka, Ross Coyer, and Angie Page. You can find out more about Sumatran Sunbear Team on Facebook and Instagram, and at sumatransunbearteam.org. and you can find out about Orangutan Information Centre at orangutancentre.org. You can find out more about the American Bear Association at americanbear.org. You can find Vinshuti Wildlife Sanctuary on Facebook and Instagram. You can ask questions and submit comments about the podcast to peacewi@americanbear.org. The ABA is a special circumstance. We do not condone feeding wild animals. If you enjoy this podcast, help support the ABA, either by donating, becoming an ABA member, symbolically adopting a bear, or come visit the sanctuary during the season and say hello. And if you do enjoy this, please do us a favour. It'll barely take you a minute. On whatever platform you're listening to this on, please either follow us or click the bell for updates and notifications. Please share with family and friends and rate the podcast, as it all helps us grow and is greatly appreciated.